Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're excited that you would choose to join us today. And there is definitely a word from the Lord. We're going to go into 1 John and deal with some things that the Holy Spirit has dropped in my spirit. And see where we need to progress from there. We've been speaking about our identity, but even as we speak of our identity and knowing who we are in Christ, we also have to know what our identity is not. Amen. There are some things that people have pawned off as being Christian that are not Christian in character, in belief, in execution, amen. How can all men know that we're Christians by the love we show when there's no love being shown?
Well,
amen. There's no feeling that there should be love shown. Mm-hmm. You know, God understands my heart. Listen, we got to get it past your heart and into operation as a reality. The world needs to know that God speaks and God still loves, God cares, and not just about you, but about them too. Amen. So as we go forward, we got some things to say today. Amen. And we're going to ask Prophetess Crystal to give us our announcements and then lead us in our prayer.
Amen. God bless you, everyone, once again. As my husband stated, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast in the way of announcements every Tuesday and every Saturday, Tuesday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Excuse me. Join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. That's every Tuesday at 7 and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Also on Thursdays, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That is also our website. Please take some time to visit us. Amen. Learn more about myself and Apostle McQueen. Learn more about the churches that we cover. Amen. And even pray, people of God, about becoming a vision partner with this ministry. We need your prayers and support to continue doing the work that God has given us to do. And also for the churches that we have over, that we have coverage over. Amen. Please pray about becoming a blessing financially to them as well. Amen. We have a donate button there on our website. Please let us know where you would like your monetary gifts to go, your contributions, and we will make sure that it goes right into the hands of those where you ask for it to be sent. Amen. Amen. Also, want to let you know real quick that we also have a Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, And we also have a Facebook page, Women of Prophetic Destiny. For those of you who already have liked us and sent us out praise reports, prayer requests, and God bless each and every one of you. Definitely that we're holding your name up before God. We are believing that He's going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we all can ask or say, and that God is still on the throne. Amen. And your prayers will be answered. Amen. According to His will. But again, for those of you who are new to us, leave your information, you know, give us a shout out, leave your prayer requests, praise reports. Even if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come and minister at one of your programs, please leave your information, your contact information, and someone will get in contact with you within 24 to 48 hours. Amen. Amen. Those are the announcements for this evening. Now let us go to prayer. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. We thank you. We worship you. Your name is holy and righteous. God, we thank you right now for your moving power. We thank you right now for your presence. We thank you right now for your glory. We thank you right now for waking us up. We thank you right now for just your presence resting upon your people and moving in the lives of your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, as we come forth to minister your word, we decrease. We ask that you would increase through us this evening. God, we ask for your wisdom, your knowledge, and most of all, your understanding. Let us speak the oracles of God this evening. Let it be sharp in the people's ear. Let it be a saw or a bomb, amen, in somebody's life. Let it bring clarity, God. Let your word tonight bring healing in the lives of your people. Let this word bring deliverance tonight in the lives of your people. Let this word, God, that is going to be spoken on tonight make every crooked way straight in the name of Jesus. God, we worship you. We magnify, we glorify you. We thank you and we lift your name up on high, for you are the worthy one to be worshiped and praised. We give your name all glory. We give your name all honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen and amen. I'm so grateful for the word, and I'm so grateful for the children of God. Thank you for the awesome prayer. You know, God is just doing something, and I think that as we recognize it,
yeah,
you know, we'll be able to properly carry out what He's given us.
Amen.
To do.
Amen.
Too often we have people who say that they believe in God, but then they demonstrate, you know, lack of belief.
Uh-huh.
But what are you saying? Listen, you scared? No, I ain't scared. Well, go ahead and do it. You do it. No, you go ahead and do it. I ain't doing it. You do it. You scared? I ain't scared. Okay, listen, this go-around right here that I'm demonstrating right now is the same go-around, amen, that we have when it comes down to doing what God has called us to do. You know, I love Him. I'm going to do what God said. Okay, go do X, Y, and Z. You go do it. Well, He told you to do it. Well, I'm going to do it, but you go ahead and then I'm going to catch up, you know, because I got to get some stuff together. Listen. We want the blessings of the Lord, and God start pouring out blessings upon the saints and everything, and you right there shouting along with them, talking about, woo, my car coming too, my house coming too, God about to give me a blessing, woo, He's going to preserve me. And guess what? You haven't done nothing that God said do. Nothing. So when the enemy comes in, and he knows that your obedience, amen, is in question, then you just opened up a way for him to get at you. Amen. Mm-hmm. So now here you are fussing about the fact that the enemy coming in, Lord, I'm paying my tithes. I'm doing everything I know to do. No, you're not. You're giving your tithes. Amen. And let me just say this. When you pay your tithes, you're basically saying that you're paying off God because you give your tithes. Amen. I wish I had time to really get into that aspect of this, amen, but we give our tithes, amen, because they belong to him anyhow. So instead of holding on to it and feeling like we're doing something, you pay your bills, amen, but you give your tithes, amen, you give your offering, amen. Amen. We'll pick that part up later because I think, we have a lot of people who have gotten off because there's been so many, I don't want to use the word charlatans, but that comes to mind, who have come in and really made giving and giving into kingdom projects and kingdom establishments, amen, a bad word, and it feels wrong, and we don't understand, and you can't run your house, amen, on a Hikobosha, amen. He come in a car, he come in a Honda. It don't work that way. Try that with your with the mortgage company, or with the power company, or the gas company, or the water company, or any other service that you have. Amen. You know, let DirecTV or your cable service or Dish Network or whoever you're with, let the bill come in and you call them up and prophesy for three, 4 minutes and then hang up the phone to see if they don't still cut off your stuff. Amen. Now, with that said, you have to understand that it costs, amen, to be in ministry. It just simply costs, amen. And those of us who are part of the body of Christ take up the expense of ministry, amen. That's why we speak to you concerning things that are going on within the body, amen, that you will help with taking care of those things, amen. But you aren't paying for anything. The gospel is free. Amen. And I think we need to make that very clear. Someone said something very foolish, and I know that they were trying to be, you know, facetious when they said it. They said, you know what? Every preacher should take a vow of poverty. If they really want to help, then they need to live as the paupers in the land. This person is sitting there, you know, in their tricked out car with all their rims and everything else trimmed in chrome and spinners and everything else. And I said, now, you just said that. How do you know if you're successful in life at what you're doing? Well, you know, you're able to live comfortable and do certain things. I said, so if I'm a lawyer, you know, there's no problem with me having a nice home and nice cars and you know, going to the good restaurants and everything else. I said, no, I mean, you know, you went to school, you did what you need to do. It is what it is, you know. You put the time in, you put the work in. I said, if I was a doctor, there would be no problem with me pulling up in a Jaguar or Mercedes or anything like that, and you know, living out in the suburbs in a specialized gated community, there's nothing wrong with that, right? So no, you know, you're at the top of your game, Doc. You know, you came up with something that really helped out a lot of people. You know, you're doing what you need to do. I said, okay. I said, so the one that speaks to you and ministers to you and take care of you and do all of that, they need to be poor and broke down. But the person who takes the lie and formulates it into a maybe so that you can get off, or so that somebody can get off of a jail sentence, or the person who practices, maybe they get it right, you know, up upon you with scalpels and everything else. Those people need to be celebrated. I said, do you see that there's a problem here? You know, and that's how the world has looked at all of this. They don't understand, you know, that there's a cause, but they realize that there's a cause. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They see that there's a need, but they believe that God should supply the need. Let me show you how God supplies the need. He moves upon the heart of his people, amen. Mm-hmm. So that as we come forward and let you know what is needed, amen, then your heart strings are pulled. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to release the resources that are needed to accomplish the goal, amen. Each one doing a little can accomplish a lot, because when you look at the sands on the shore, is each grain of sand is small and insignificant of itself, but added to the others, amen,
amen,
becomes a great beach, amen. And we go to see this spectacle. Let one of those grains of sand get into the wrong place, amen, and you'll know that it's there, amen. So even the most insignificant thing can have a great impact, amen, amen. Now, let me get into what I'm speaking about tonight, because I was speaking to someone earlier today and having a discussion. As we were having a discussion, I was talking about identity and knowing who we are, and they was talking about the misappropriation of funds and things in the Christian church. And I said, you know, you have to be able to see what is needed there and release and know that God is going to meet the need. Okay, because when you release it, it becomes then the responsibility of them that you released it to do what God called them to do. Amen. Now, let me show you how this works. If in the days when the priests were taking sacrifice, when you brought the lamb or you brought the bull or whatever it was, the goat, the oxen, whatever you bought to the priest for your offering, after you gave it to him, you left knowing that the blessing that he's proclaimed upon you, or the blood that he's taken for your penitence, amen, was going to do the job. You didn't go back to that lamb. You didn't go back to that bull, amen, and try to govern how that blood was going to be sprinkled upon the altar. You see, nowadays, you know, we come in and we try to govern how the offering is going to be sprinkled upon the altar. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it, but, you know, I'm going to give it this way. And, you know, there's somebody, I'm not going to mention a name. My wife would know who I'm talking about simply by definition or description of what I'm saying. We'll turn around and sow into the ministry of her choice. And when she sows into the ministry of her choice, she feels that once she gives a couple of dollars or so, that she actually has a say in what's going on and how it's going on. And so, you know, the $50 that she gave, she feels now that she can tell the church which direction to go in. Let me tell you, when God gives direction, God also gives responsibility. And being responsible, we have to move the way that God has called us to move. Amen. Now, if your $50, you think $50 is going to sway $1 million ministry, then you really need to take a little look at that. Amen. Because thank you for your help. But if that's what it is, then you can have the $50. We're going to do what God said do. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, let me get to this word here. 1 John. Let's start at the second chapter. And there's certain things that I really want to pull out here. But we're going to go from the 28th verse into the 3rd chapter and pick up there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's see what the Holy Spirit is saying today. Just want to thank God that this semester of school has been completed. God has gave us favor during this semester. Amen. And I pray that as I continue on with this math part, amen, he will give me some help. Amen. Y'all need to be praying for me. Amen. I'm just being honest and real. My age, going back to school, I decided to do so. I'm going to get to the scripture. I just want to say this. At my age, I decided to go back to school. And the math that they're talking about today is different than the math that I remember doing back when I was in school. But it is the same math. I just don't remember it the same way. Amen. That's the way to look at it. Because a one still has the property of one. You know, 50 years from now, one will still be one. Amen. How you remember the properties of one 50 years from now may be different. Amen. As the case is. Amen. So we're thanking God for the end of this semester and couple of weeks we'll be starting on the next semester and continuing on. Amen. We go forward in matriculation. We believe that God has called us to this and we shall continue to do so, ever learning. Amen. But we want to come to the knowledge of the truth as well. Amen. Amen. Now let's go into this and thank you for all of you who will pray for me. Amen. And prophetess that she's in school as well. Amen. Now, let's read this. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him." Where are we abiding?
In him.
Notice he's using this term, little children. It's not a demeaning term. It's just reminding us that we are growing up in him. We are maturing in him. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is that people have come to the altar today and feel that they're grown by the weekend. Amen. And it takes some time for you to learn him. I used to say all the time, and I still say while we're dealing with certain counseling issues, I say, listen, while you were, growing up, you know, it took you however many years you are old to become who you are today.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you are getting married today and you were, you're 24 years old, you have 24 years of living as yourself. During that time, you learned mama's rules. You learned daddy's rules. You learned how to get along with your brothers, sisters, neighbors, relatives, other family and friends. Amen. You learn how to go to school and what to do there and what not to do there. There were positive disciplinary actions and there were negative disciplinary actions, meaning that when you did well, you got the goodie. And when you did bad, you got the hand or whatever it was that was disciplinary. Maybe things were restricted from you. It differs from family to family. Amen. We're not getting into whether or not the Bible is right about spare the rod for the child. I have my personal belief on that, and the Bible is right. That's all I'm going to say. When we look at that, you have 24 years of coming up with what you feel is right and what you feel is wrong, what you will do, what you won't do. You have set certain things in your way. You just take it that this is me and this is how it's going to be for the rest of my life. And then you fall in love, and that person that you go get married to may be 24 like you. They may be 25, 26. Amen. They may be younger than you, 22, 23. Amen. However it is, they may be 10 years older than you, 5 years older than you. Whatever it is, you fall in love with them, and that person, no matter how much you have learned, they have also learned 20-something years. Let's use 26 years. For an example, they're 26 years old, you're 24 years old. They have learned 26 years of being themselves as well.
Yeah.
In order for you to live a year together, you got to start unlearning some of your 24 years. And they have to start unlearning some of their 26 years. Amen?
Amen.
Because some of the behavior patterns, mm-hmm. amen, were there for single-minded people.
Right.
Amen. It's why you was in this mode and living. This was proper thinking. But now that you have come together, two to become one, that thinking will destroy your union. Amen.
Amen.
Notice the word union.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
Because when you come together, then there's certain things that you have to now look at, understand, and walk with. Amen?
Yeah.
So when we got saved, Amen. At whatever age you got saved, you had to unlearn that many years of the world thinking. But I was at home with mama in there. Yes, and when mama said do this, you murmured and complained underneath your breath. You stomped up the steps. You slammed your door. You went in your room and sat on your bed and talked under your breath. You came out because you knew that if she saw you or your father saw you, that there would be repercussions. But don't tell me one time that you didn't. You went along with everything without ever saying anything. Amen? See, because that's not the natural, the norm. Amen? Even a child who gets everything that they want eventually finds a way to put out their elbows or put their heels in or something just to prove that there is a variance. Amen? It is how we are as humans. Amen? You can't get around human nature with that. Amen? So as you get older, you begin to develop certain likes and dislikes. And no matter what mama set on the table and we're going to eat it, to this day, I don't eat liver.
Nope.
Amen. Amen. There's certain things that I just won't be eating. Amen. While I was at home, mama said, clean the plate. I found a way to get it down. But guess what? After I left from there, I'm numb. Okay? It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting because when we talk about now my and now little children abide in him, when we begin to talk about abiding in him, then we have to unlearn worldly ways that we have put our feet, put our heels in and decided that this is how it's going to be.
True.
Do you know that my mother knew the importance of liver in my diet growing up, being a nurse? A registered nurse and a licensed nurse, amen, she knew exactly what I needed. She would see what I was going through and what my body was doing, and she knew when I needed to eat a little bit more vegetables and when I need to have a little bit more carbs or, you know, whatever it is. She would look and see that and know how the body works and how she needs to feed us. She would change up the diet. Amen. It would be times when we were going to go out and play football and we were thinking about doing certain things. Mom would put on a pot of stew or she would make a big pot of spaghetti knowing that we were going to come in and try to eat up all the spaghetti in the house. Well, see, I know now that was really putting a lot of carbs on us because we were about to expend a lot of energy. Amen. Mom knew how to look and see what we needed. So she gave us what we needed and not always what we wanted. Amen. And that brings me to what I'm talking about here. Now, children, little children, abide in him. When we abide in him, you've got to stop thinking that God is giving you everything that you want and know that he's always going to give you everything that you need. Amen. And when you see that he's going to give you everything that you need, then when God takes something from you or when God is bringing something to you, like it or lump it, know this, that if God is bringing it to you, it is for your making so that you can survive. You don't understand that your body has to be sustained through the next test the way it needs to be sustained. So God begins to prepare us today for tomorrow's test.
Amen.
Well, I don't feel like I need to go through that because that's just being too much. I don't feel like I have to do all of that. Well, guess what? Don't go through the preparation stage and then get out there and see how you fare. And then you're looking for somebody to come and help you. The Bible tells the story of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Amen. And I'm still talking about abiding in him. Amen. Because these 5... these 10 virgins, 5 of them had already prepared, knowing what was coming. The bridegroom is coming. They prepared and make sure they had oil in their lamp and they had trimmed their lamps. Amen. They're just waiting on the call because they know it's coming.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle of the night, the call goes out, the bridegroom cometh. And those foolish ones ran over to the wise ones and said, give us oil that we may go out and meet him. And they said, no, we're not giving you oil. You know, lest there not be enough for us. And see, that's the thing. People don't want to invest in kingdom behavior. They don't want to change. They don't want to mature. They don't want to be developed. Amen. But they want you to go into prayer for them right now.
Right now.
You know, oh God, something's happening to me right now. I ain't put in no time, haven't spoke to you in about 3-4 years since the last big something. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go find a child of God and have him pray for me so that I can get through this. Well, maybe it's that you're coming up to this. God is trying to get you to mature up yourself. Mm-hmm. Amen? Not maybe. God is bringing you through this so that you can mature up yourself. Amen? Mm-hmm. So when we are in him, we have confidence. Amen? We live in him. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Amen? So if we have our being, our purpose, and everything else in him, then that means that I can't be foolish running around worldly ways thinking about what I like, how I like it. I have to fully look at God and his plan and his will for my life and know that he has the best in store for me. Amen?
Okay.
Let's read on down that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Uh-huh.
Huh? If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. In other words, you're going to have the character of him who called you. Amen. That means that you got to lose your character to gain his character. Amen. The third chapter, 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God.
Amen.
Now, when we started talking about this before, I was talking about identity. You knowing who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him.
Well.
So that means that when I got saved, I need to stop thinking like the world. Because those of you who still have good worldly friends, they begin to give you their wisdom. And the world's wisdom is not the same as God's wisdom. Amen. To the world, it seems right to do this. So they follow that.
True.
And I think we have more carnal Christians today than we've ever had before, who can tell you everything that they believe is right, but don't know two scriptures to rub together to get a fire started. Huh? See, we got to get down to the word. Your friends will tell you, if they did this to me, if I was you and they was coming at me like this, I would do X, Y, and Z. The scripture tells us if they come and they do this, then you know, turn your cheek. You see that? He tells us to pray for our enemies. Tells us to bless those who despitefully use us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, honestly, what's the world wisdom say in those situations? Beat them down, talk them down, hunt them down.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. And some of you still have that mentality. You've been saved for a while, but you're still hunting people down. I heard something that was utter foolishness. Someone was speaking and they was the character of the person is in question already. Say but don't demonstrate none of the characteristics of a true Christian. Pick it up when it's convenient to say, ooh, Jesus. Drop it when it's time for them to come out and then pick it back up to say I'm a Christian again. So the people around them look at them and always say that was a Christian who did X, Y, and Z. And we have to stand back and tell them that it's not what a Christian does. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because a Christian doesn't do X. A Christian doesn't do Y. A Christian doesn't do Z. Just because you say you're a Christian, you have to have the character of a Christian. Amen? To qualify being a Christian. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So if I'm a child of God, then I need to demonstrate the character of God.
How can I be a child and of God and demonstrate the character of everybody but the one I'm a child of? I know many of you have heard this before. You know, my father used to say this. They say, listen, you're a McQueen, and McQueens carry themselves like this. And we don't go over there acting a fool, and we don't do this, that, and other. Amen? So I had to learn how to walk according to who I am as a McQueen. And my brothers and sisters, God is trying to get us to walk today in the character of who we are as his children. Amen? What manner of love is this? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Amen? Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. A world mentality will never survive in a kingdom environment. I'm going to say that again. A worldly mentality will never survive in a kingdom environment. So if you find yourself having a hard time dealing with kingdom issues, maybe it's because your mind is still full of carnality. Amen? Now, I'm not telling you that you're not going to have moments, amen, of thinking about things that are around you, because like I said before, if you had 24 years of living your way, even though you got married today, you still have to unlearn 24 years so that you can live a year with your new spouse. Amen? That's just how it is. And even years down the road, Prophetess and I have been married since 93, amen. October, it'll be 20 years, amen. And there's still some things that I do or that she does that goes way back to when we were children, and we look at each other when we do it. I'm like, what are you doing with that? And she look at me like, what are you doing over there? You know, it's who we are, amen. And we take into our mind, you know, that we're going to change this, but certain things are harder to change than others, amen. Huh? So we have to remember that as we work on it, it gets better. Mm-hmm. Amen. When we remember that we are children of God and we abide in him, uh-huh, we're very careful of what we bring into our abode.
Amen. Amen. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Everything, and I do mean everything, should not be brought into the house of God and tries to be covered by the house of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. There are certain things that should never come in because it was not for the house. Amen. It doesn't represent the house. And we can't try to make it part of the house when it has no place in the house.
True.
Amen. I don't care how much I like elephants, it can't come in my house. Amen. You can like it outside as much as you want, but it can't come across the threshold. Amen? And some of us look just that crazy trying to hide the elephant in the room that should have never been there in the first place. Amen, somebody. Look what the Bible says. Let's give you some more scriptures because maybe you need to understand what we're talking about. John 3:16 is very familiar. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's will and plan for your life is that you have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. And if you have everlasting life because you live in a lifestyle, then you can be a true child of God.
Uh-huh.
Well, look at this. If God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the thing that was dearest to him, then if you are a child of God, then you should be able to give what's dearest to you as well. Amen. And sometimes that has nothing to do with your finance. It has everything to do with yourself.
Yes.
Hello, somebody. Because we try to hold on to, I'll give as much as you want. I'll give myself out of harm's way. Well, guess what? You can't give yourself out of harm's way. What he requires of you is obedience. Look at Saul and Samuel having a discourse. Saul is given order to go out and destroy the Amalekites, and he refuses to do as Samuel instructed him in the name of the Lord. He said, destroy everything. He went over there and he brought back the king and let the men spoil the land and bring back sheep and everything else. you know, the choices of everything. He said, destroy everything. And out of what was said to him in the name of the Lord, Saul heard, well, go back there and get some glory for yourself. How many churches today are walking not in the spirit of a Davidic anointing, but walking in the spirit of Saul? God sent you out to do something. Lord, I don't know why I just switched that right there, but you good. Whatever you say, amen. They're walking in the spirit of Saul. God gave you an assignment, sent you out to do something, and as you got to moving, you started seeing how you could get some glory out of it for yourself, and the first thing you did is where he said kill and slay, you started looking for who you could take prisoner. We got things in the church that have been taken and brought in as prisoners that should have been slaves before they even got to the camp. Well, you know, we bought back these sheep because we're going to offer it to the Lord. Huh? You know, guess what? Ill-gotten gain is still ill-gotten gain. Amen? Hmm. And look what Samuel said. He said to him, what have you done? I've done everything you told me.
I had an attitude when he came to me.
Huh? Yes. Remember when I read the scripture for you all. We went into Matthew, the 7th chapter.
Okay.
Amen. And we looked at the, what was it, the 7th, no, the 23rd verse.
23rd verse.
Amen. 21 through 23. Mm-hmm. Amen. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. What he's looking for is serious obedience. Amen. How many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? First of all, let me say something right now. Amen. The name of Jesus works,
yes,
regardless of who's using it. Amen. Because the name of Jesus has power in it. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. So when you're using the name of Jesus to accomplish something, it's going to work. Amen. Because the name works. Amen. There's power in the name. Amen. So I heard someone say it like this, and I like how it was said. God is the only one who will let you keep on working,
mm-hmm,
even though he's already fired you.
That's the truth.
Amen. I'm talking about Saul. Saul was still king, even though he was dethroned in heaven. Amen. Let's look what it says here in this verse, Matthew 7, and that's in the King James, in the Message Bible, because I like that one right there. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, and these scriptures really come to light when we begin to deal with some of these people in so-called ministry. Make you feel bad because you don't give at the $1,000 level, you know, but they're just ravenous wolves trying to get more and more. Amen. And they put Jesus on the front of it and the cross out there, but then they speak everything but, you know, really true Christianity. Amen. Huh? It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Amen. Yeah. He said, I want you to know that you went out and did everything you could, but you didn't do everything I told you.
There it is.
And therein lies the problem, is that there's a lot of people going out doing everything they can, but they won't do everything that he's telling them to do.
Yep.
Obedience. Amen. Knowing the correct password, saying Master, Master, Message Bible, Matthew 7:21. For instance, it isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. Amen. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. Huh?
Hmm.
And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important. You don't impress me one bit.
Yeah.
You're out of here.
A lot of people doing that.
a lot of people are going to be sad, amen, on that day. Because they just know that the stuff that they're doing is going to be all God. And he's going to, I can't wait because he's going to celebrate, amen, what I'm doing right now. Because this is the will of God. Whoo, Jesus.
That's the truth. Help us, God. You gotta help us here. Please.
1 Samuel 15, because I want to give you scriptural reference to what I was saying. Amen. 1 Samuel 15. Amen. Let's just read down, starting at the first verse. And Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the word of the Lord." It's to leadership right now. There's a time that you will be challenged to follow the voice of the Lord when you have your distractors. And those who are around you trying to get you to follow anything but it. Don't cave in to the peer pressure. Follow God's voice. Follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be the one that sustains you. And if he is the one who allowed you to rise up or who set you up, amen, then he's also the one who can bring you down. Amen. So, therefore, heed the voice of the Lord, of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. Now, he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Okay, so now it's very clear what you're going to do. The assignment is clear, amen? And when you have a clear assignment, I don't care how it looks and who tries to talk you out of it, you know your assignment, amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, so Saul gathered the people for first. Saul gathered the people together and numbered them and, to tell him, amen?
Yes.
200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah, and Saul came to a city of Amalekite and lay in wait in the valley. Then he attacked them and to destroy them, amen.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And they went out.
Yeah.
Huh? Let's see what's going on now. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down to the 7th verse.
Yeah.
And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of Amalekites, alive. Now, see, this is the problem. He said, slay every man, woman, child. The camels, the donkeys, the sheep, everything.
The cat, the dog. You right about that.
Yeah, the cat, the dog. The goldfish and the mole. Amen. All of them. Kill it. Slay it all. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul attacked, because I was doing what you told me to do. I went to do what you said. Uh-huh. From Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of Amalekites, alive. Stop. Hold it. You weren't told to take him alive. Amen? Huh? But Paul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lamb, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. So now we get down to the real problem. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. We get down to the problem. There are people right now talking about they're doing the will of God. But in your mind, you're destroying everything in the name of the Lord that you don't like. But your pet peeve sins and stuff that you trying to use or network with, you're trying to hold on to.
You see that? And God don't need your, he don't need your form of goodness. Amen. Your righteousness, according to the word of God, is as a filthy rag. We won't go into that. Those of you who know what I'm saying, understand it already. So even at your best, you still have nothing that you can call good. Except God has justified you and made you right with him, you have no means of justification or a means or a way to live righteous. You understand? See? So everything that was that they felt was good, they held on to. The best. How does that come today? Instead of telling people that they need to be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, put down the sin, the wages of sin is death. There is still a heaven and a hell. Yes, we talk about hell. We understand that when we deal with hell, we deal with the reality that those who reject God reject heaven and reject his way.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people hate dealing with God, hate dealing with Jesus, don't want to hear nothing, but when they die, they want to be put in heaven. Where do you think Jesus is?
Exactly.
Huh? Where do you think the throne room is? It's not sitting around a corner from your house, amen? It's actually in heaven. So when you go to heaven, you're going to the place where he is. So if you don't want him here, what makes you think you're going to die and want him then? Well, let me just live my life and don't judge me. You know, I'm going to get it together eventually. You know, Lord, spare me. Well, what happens when your flesh causes your demise?
Yeah.
See? Well, don't talk to us like that because we don't want nobody. Y'all judge me. Y'all judge me. Listen, we're not judging you. We're telling you what the word says. Within the word, if you find that you are coming up short, it is the word that condemns you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But more so than that, you condemn yourself because of the word. Amen. I read to you in Galatians, the third chapter, that the law was the tutor that brought us to Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So the law is there so that you understand sin and what sin is. But after you come from that and you actually get saved, now you're walking according to the precepts of God, amen, and the will of God. As you begin to walk as a saint and a child of God, then you stop walking in sin.
Amen.
And the law stops being applied to you. Amen.
Amen.
So before that, yes. After that, no. Amen. That is the word. That's sound doctrine there. Amen. So we have to understand that just like Saul right here was trying to keep the best of what he should have destroyed, so we today try to keep the best of the world.
Sure do. We really do.
Lord help us.
We really do.
Well, God didn't mean that. Yes, he meant that too. I don't care how pretty the girl was. I don't care how handsome the man was, how cute the kids were, how special the sheep, the donkey, and everything else. The goldfish could have dipped flips out the bowl and spelled your name on the way back down. Guess what? If God said they got to go, they got to go. You can't. Our minds are that we can find something in there that we can use.
For our good.
And we're going to try to change it for God's good. But not having the sight that God sees or that God has where he can see the end at the beginning, God knows why he says, kill it now. Amen? Before it becomes a problem in your future, take care of it today. Amen?
Yeah.
So here they are. They're walking in there, and let's finish this passage, amen, so that we can do everything that we need to do for today. 10 verse, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret up Saul as king. I just have a quick question here. Is God regretting the anointing that he placed on your life? Lord Jesus, that will preach.
Sure
that will preach. That will preach.
You're right about that.
Is God regretting giving you favor at that level.
Ooh.
It's God regretting giving you the ability to sway the hearts and the minds of men and women. When you take what he's giving you to use it for yourself, God regrets the gift that he gave to you. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? For he has turned his back from following me and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. That means that no matter how bad people intercede from you, for you, there's some things that God said, no.
Oh.
Amen? Uh-huh. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was so Samuel saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he had set up a monument for himself. Okay, so God told you to go over here and preach to these poor people and change their life and minister to them and demonstrate the power of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Somebody told you that if you go over there, you can set up a mega church and make a whole lot of money, and we find you over there talking about we're going to do some outreach for the poor folk. That's not what he called you to do. Amen? And you mess yourself up trying to think and articulate God's will in your favor. Do what God said do. Amen? This isn't popular, but it don't have to be. Amen? It has to be right. Amen? The proof is right here. Look what goes on. 13th verse. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord." And here it is. But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen that I hear?" Huh? How do you explain not following the will of God? Well, God understands what was going on. Get that excuse out of there and obey. Huh? We need to obey. We need to do a thing to us. For as many, obey him, as many as follow his will, his command, are the children of God. I'm a child. I'm a follower. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Come on, let's pray. Prophetess, will you lead us in our prayer and give us our clothes?
Amen. Father, right now in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this word. It's a powerful word. God, help us. Help us, your people, God, to get this thing right. Holy Spirit, we ask right now that we can and shall walk in obedience to your will, your way, and your purpose for our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, right now, we ask in Jesus' name as we stand in intercession, God, we are your intercessors. Father, we pray for every leader, every man, every woman, boy, girl, and child. Father, that they will begin to walk in obedience to your word. Father, those who have strayed, we ask that you would just bring them back into the fold. Forgive us right now, God, of anything and everything that we have done that was not lined up according to what you have already predestined for us to do. In the name of Jesus, forgive us for every deal that we made. Forgive us for every excuse that we made. God, forgive us for every reason that we made in order to as we still accomplish your will, but it wasn't your will. Forgive us right now in the name of Jesus. Wash us clean. We ask all these things. Make us right. Make us whole before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, those of you who are not saved, repeat these words after me. Father, come into my life, into my heart. I am a sinner. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me whole. I want to do your will. I want to serve your purpose. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that prayer, welcome to the family of God. We pray that you will find a church home, amen, that is teaching and preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, people of God, go to our website and check us out, www.ctkr.org, and also hit us up on the Facebook under Prophetic Atmosphere or Women's Prophetic Destiny or Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I just want to say I thank God for this word. You have to understand when we come in and we set up where we're going to go in the broadcast and the Holy Spirit shifts it, we have to be pliable to the Holy Spirit. And if this is what he's saying to us, this is where we need to be. And I pray that you
hear the word of the Lord and the voice of the Lord, amen, mm-hmm. so that we can get it right and please the Father. Come on, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.